without praising you, without song. You watch our heart, and I pray that you will please. For the rest of the time, we're going to listen to your message. So I pray the Holy Spirit will use me to share the message from the Scripture and only from the Scripture. And I pray the Holy Spirit in the heart of the people in this room so they can hear your voice and apply for their life. Everything we do for your glory, Father, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I really touched by the praise song. You did real well. I really touched. So I pray someday, if you can, you may lead the Vietnamese worship, maybe in the special song section, so they can see how you praise the Lord. And maybe some of you just sit in the back and then help the praise team up here to sing. You know, especially the last three songs is really good and really touched. Okay? Just let me know if you can do that. Because sometimes young adults or young generation need to help the older generation to move forward. And the three songs is just unbelievable. Some of you know, a couple of weeks ago, probably about a month ago, I was in the hospital. And the reason I'm in the hospital is because dehydration. So it create infection up here to the right, and then suddenly move to the left, and then to the neck. So the doctor told me, Hong Sen, you dehydrate. So make sure you drink a lot of water. So I go home and drink a lot of water. But again, it still bothered me how the world it happened. So it turned out to be what exactly changed in my diet. It turned out to be a couple months ago when I had a blood test, and they told me I have high cholesterol, okay, LDL too high. So you take this little pill here to drop it. So I take the first one for about a week, I have some reaction. So they change the second one, the pink color, 20 or 40 something milligram. So I take it for about a month. First few weeks, yeah, I have the stiff finger and all of that stuff, but it's still okay. I can manage it. And it turned out to be I also had a mood swing. I get upset easily. Okay? And then I have dehydration, even though I drink a lot of water. So last Tuesday, I went to the doctor, and they do on-cap analysis. They come down to the reason for all of this happened. Because that little pink pills, cholesterol thing. So I told me to stop. Now, Hong Sen, you need to go back to your diet and exercise. So since Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm really eat a good food and exercise. So I exercise 1 hour a day, and suddenly, you know, first couple of days kept boring, but since yesterday, today, look like I'm full of energy. Okay, look like deplete all of that cholesterol pill thing out my system. And suddenly I'm in good mood, full of energy, get up early this morning, 5:30, go through the cleaning process, have cleaning process, and exercise for 1 hour, good breakfast. And I have, wait a minute, I have so much time now. So I get to the church early to pray. But before, I don't have energy, so I'm just like the couch potato, just sit there, okay? And also, one good thing, I lose 3 or 4 pounds, so suddenly my waist here a little bit less, so I probably have about half inch to go, and suddenly my chest seemed to be a little bit larger, so it's really good. And I go through about 1 hour exercise, but didn't even get tired, can go on. Praise the Lord for that. So suddenly, this morning, you know, I'm thinking about the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. Because sometimes, if we didn't have the good food as a good scripture, good explanation of God's word, and we put wrong stuff in our spirit, and something may go wrong. And that reason why, in the hospital bed, You know, I'm going through the whole series of Romans. Talk about, I had to go back to the basics. What exactly is it which Paul tried to communicate to the church? Remember, he communicated to the church of Romans. It's a Gentile people. More people, or Greek people, or Greek-speaking language people, come to Christ. And if they're not trained, or if they're not fit properly, they may be just like me, end up in the hospital with no energy, to widen the kingdom of God. It's not only so, because years back, Martin Luther, okay, he's a Catholic priest, and he gets confused. He says, why the Catholic Church do certain things, but is it in the Bible? So he spent a lot of time studying the book of Romans, and he wake up and say, wow, okay, salvation by faith, not by work alone. So suddenly the whole transformation, reformation is happened. And we have Protestant, like our church now. But it's not only so, like about 100 years ago in the 18th or 19th century, the guy named John Wesley, he went to America to become a missionary, and he depressed, he stressed out. He go back to England, and there is the preaching or teaching process going on about Martin Luther. So by curiosity, he said he need to be recharged. So he went to the conference, quote conference, and they talk about the study which Martin Luther worked on the book of Romans. And when he listened from Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 7, and suddenly he wake up and said, oop, he need to change. And from John Wesley, the whole revival happened in England and also happened in America. And at the beginning of Methodist denomination. So we see when you study the Bible, especially the book of Romans, at the beginning, verse 1, in the introduction, we saw Paul, he introduced himself. He called to the Roman congregation. He called himself the slave of Jesus Christ, the called apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So today, my purpose is we need to zoom in. What exactly is it, the gospel of God, which Paul tried to communicate to the church of Romans? And the same thing, the gospel of God, what is it that wake up Martin Luther, and the same thing wake up John Wesley? So what exactly the gospel of God? So three things I'm structured to share with you. What is the gospel? How God revealed the gospel and the result of the gospel. So what is it? What is the gospel? He said, Paul, bond servant of Christ, called to be apostle, separated to the gospel of God. In the language, Greek language, the word like gospel of God, it can be translated with two possibilities of meaning. The gospel is a good news about God. It certainly seems to be good news if we discover a God who is willing to pardon rather than to judge our sin. So it makes sense, the good news about God. But another possibility of meaning when we do the translation of God is the good news of God. In this view, God is the author of the plan of salvation. Perhaps it is both meaning. The reason I want to share this is because when you read a lot of commentary, there is a group of people said the gospel is the good news about God. And then you read another book, another group of people said the gospel is the good news of God. But my position when try to preach this morning, I said the gospel is both meaning. Because the gospel or the good news must come from God himself. But the content of gospel is about God, what God has done. So God demonstrates both, okay, his angry or his wrath, and his willingness to pardon in action. So the gospel is about God as well. So my position, if you read, I have to take my position when it talks about the gospel, it has both meaning, the good news about God and the good news of God. So how God revealed the gospel? Verse 2 to 4, which he promised before through his prophet. According to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Right in verse 2, Paul, he revealed about the gospel. So what he tried to communicate to the church at that time, because so many people at that time thinking about the gospel had to be happened during the time of Jesus Christ. But Paul, he said, no, if from the beginning of time, it's already have the record of Christ coming. So reality, the gospel starts from the time of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the gospel begins with God seeking out Adam and Eve in the garden. And if you study the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve had sinned, what did they do? They ran away. They ran and hide and covered themselves. Because the sinner cannot look into the face of the holy and righteous God. But God, instead of striking them, but he sought out Adam and Eve. So he said, Adam, Adam, where are you? He know Adam and Eve sinned. Adam and Eve hid away in the bush somewhere, but God still seeking Adam and Eve. Adam, Adam, where are you? So yes, there was a curse and severe judgment, but God also came with the word of promise. He promised what? Our descendant of Eve would have the son whose heel would be bruised by Satan. But in return, this son will deal with that blow to the head of Satan. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. So this is where the gospel truly begins. And you will find out this promise, particularly the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus constantly, if you study in New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, you will find out Jesus always challenged his disciple or his hearer to go back to the scripture. And if you study the Bible in the book of Acts, you will find out he opened the eyes of apostle, the same thing as he opened the eyes of the disciple on the road of Emmaus. So they can see the good news in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, have prophesied about Jesus Christ, about him. And even in Psalm 22 or Psalm 18, if you have a chance to read it over, it's already talked about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And even in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, it's also talking about Jesus Christ. But what I'm trying to communicate to you, what Paul communicated to the Church of Romans, the Gentile, the gospel is have from Old Testament, from the beginning of time. Because the church, if we're not careful, we say, oh, the gospel of Jesus Christ starts from the book of Matthew. But reality is from the book of Genesis, from the beginning of time. And even when you study the book of Acts, you could find out over 500 people saw Jesus Christ after resurrection. And even Peter in the book of Acts reminded the Jews, Jesus went around and do a lot of good things.
So Christ testified about Jesus. The disciple testified about Jesus. Jesus Christ, his own teaching testified about himself. And even the Holy Spirit, the mighty deeds of the early church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, did testify about Jesus Christ. And even later on when you read in the book, you know, when Peter wrote the letter, he's talking about the nature testify about Jesus Christ. And all of this evidence are from the Old Testament, from the Scripture. So who is Jesus Christ when we talk about the gospel? So because now we already position the gospel or the good news is Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. Good news about Jesus Christ. Paul, he talking about Jesus Christ, God's son, is that Jesus was the son of David, according to the flesh. What exactly does it mean? You have to go back to understand the Jew at that time, okay? Because they study the Old Testament. So they say the Messiah had to be from the descendant of David. And Paul communicate to the church, yes, Jesus Christ is 100% man. The humanity of Jesus Christ. And even in the scripture, he talking about demonstrate, like in Psalm 110, you are the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the highest priest in the Old Testament. And the descendant of David and Psalm 110 communicate the descendant of David will be the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek in the Old Testament. Secondly, Jesus Christ, his God. The reason why he talked about the divinity of Christ and declare to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Divinity. So he's talking about Jesus Christ, resurrection from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible also talks about his ascension to heaven in the power. So he's talking about the divinity of Christ. He is God. It doesn't mean that, Jesus Christ incarnation or the resurrection, Jesus Christ not God. But the scripture also defines he is God even before incarnation. So we cannot deny this divine son shares his divinity to become man either. The teaching, the true nature of Christ, go back to the early church. And even if you study the early father teaching in the Creed, it's also affirmed the scripture teach about Jesus is God. But I want to stress with you when Paul, he's talking about concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord. I put in capital here because a lot of Bible versions, they only have the capital, the letter L. But if you study in Greek language, so it's Hebrew language, the statement, Apostle early church, an Old Testament quotation about Yahweh. Jesus was a Yahweh of Old Testament. So with capital L-O-R-D. So when we talk about the Holy Trinity, which is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, are equal, distinct, yet one Yahweh, Lord. So when Paul saying Jesus was not just a exotic being under God, but is Yahweh, which is translated in the word Lord in capital. Just as Paul in the book of Philippians, it is to Jesus, he said, every knee shall bow and confess Jesus as, English, they're talking about Lord in capital. But if we do it correctly, it's like every knee shall bow and confess Jesus as Yahweh. It's only one Yahweh, but Trinity, three person of Yahweh, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So at this point, Paul, he connects the divine Son of Old Testament promise of being Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we already talking about what is the gospel, how God has revealed the gospel, and the result of the gospel. And he wrote, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. When you study the Bible, you find out the gospel had the power to change life. It's just like changed Martin Luther. And if you were back to the book of Acts, it changed thousands of people. And the first century of the church, just the simple message of the gospel, you know, the whole empire come to Christ. And even every year, million come to Christ. Just the simple gospel message. So the power by order in believing Christ will have eternal life. So Paul, he described the result of this gospel of God. He said, through Jesus we have received grace and apostleship. Receive grace and apostleship. By grace of God, we are the sinner. By believing Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. So we have He, Christ, resign our hearts, and Lord, Yahweh. And that's what He tried to communicate. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of Yahweh, will be in us to help us to understand the scripture, to help us on the right path. Receive grace and apostleship. Apostleship, a lot of church, a lot of people, oh, so if I believe in Christ, I become a believer, I become the children of God, so I am apostle. Remember, at the beginning, the first group of people, Christ, disciple, and they call apostle, and there are 12 disciple. Actually, the 13, but the 12, Judas Iscariot, he failed. So the record, 12 officially apostles, the people who get teaching directly from Jesus Christ. However, a lot of church, if they just read this statement, they would say, well, if Paul said, we have received grace and apostleship, so I am apostle. So what exactly does it mean? To understand it, you need to understand the priesthood of unbeliever. We, I hope all of you, believe when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are the priest of believers. Remember, the priesthood of unbelievers. So all of you, you can go directly, based on this, you can go directly to Christ and pray to Him. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the curtain divide between the holy and the most holy. On the Old Testament, it's only the high priest can come into the Holy of Holy to pray to God. When Christ died on the cross, that curtain, that division or divide tore out from the top to the bottom. So each one of you can go directly to the Lord to pray. So all of you, the priest of believer. But again, when we talk about the priesthood of believer, we're also talking about the whole church. As a whole church, as a whole, of whom Jesus was the head to exercise the universal priesthood. So when Paul, he used the statement, apostleship, grace, receive grace, and apostle. Remember, he wrote a letter to the church of Roman. He's talking about the universal apostleship of the church, which Jesus Christ as a head. So can also be affirmed for the church and each one of you as a priest in that body. And also the Bible talking about each one, all of us is in one body, even though Each one individually, we serve in different function in that body. And we affirm when we break the bread, when one bread distributed to believer, each as a part. And that's the meaning of the communion service. So we break bread as the individual has the bread, but the total communion is one church, from the church. So, yes, we are individually. But again, all these individual believers get together, confess that the body of Christ is one and the whole. So Paul in the Corinthians, he said, we are, he wrote, we is meaning in plural, are the temple, but the temple is in singular of the Holy Spirit. So all of us, we do share the Christ apostleships as the members of his body, even as we share his priesthood. But this should be in the context of the church body. Because the reason I'm going in great length to explain to you, because you will read in the paper, and a lot of people just pray, accept Christ and say, an apostle of Christ. But remember, he wrote in the context of the whole church. But again, what exactly God calling us? God calling us, there is not enough God grace and peace demonstrates in the church. Because the church of Roman at that time, so many Roman people, it means the Gentile people come to Christ. And when they gather in the church, and there is some doctrine, some people tell the church there is not enough grace to spread to everybody. And Paul said, no, there is enough grace for everybody. And that reason why he tried to communicate, grace is the Christian and peace. So each one of us, when we join in the body of Christ, we have grace and peace. So the union of the people in the church, regardless of race, regardless of education, regardless of background, together as a church, demonstrate through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that defines what the church is. So I'm glad our church, the Vietnamese Baptist Church, we have English speaking, and we also have the Vietnamese speaking, but it's still one body of Christ, still one church. And that's what Paul tried to communicate, because at that time, the Jewish people in the Roman church, they say the church had to be the people who speak the Jewish language. But the Greek people say, so I have to study Hebrew in order to be in the church. But Paul said, no. Okay, the Roman church, you can speak Hebrew language, the Roman church can speak the Greek language, but together it's still one church in the body of Christ. So if we see the church today, what exactly do we see? Is the church today fractured by denomination, social class, age group, nationality, or some other doctrine? But I hope and I pray our church not doing so. It's only one church in the body of Christ. In the church, we have to see the Christ. In the church, we have to see peace. And each one of us in the body, we function together to have grace and peace, not division. And the church, we also have to see the holiness in the church. And these are the things God demands of us. And this thing are not demonstrated, or people question, it is the church. And that's what Paul tried to communicate with the church of Roman at that time, because the church of Roman had fractured in terms of race, in terms of language, in terms of great group. So what exactly the gospel of God? I'm talking about, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news about God and the good news from God. how God revealed the gospel from the beginning of time. And he already talked about Jesus Christ from the book of Genesis. And the result of gospel, we have the church. One head, Jesus Christ, and one body. But this body, the church, by a lot of people as the part, drawn together through the power of the Holy Spirit to form the church. And the church has to have grace, has to have peace, and from that we can have impact to the world. And as a new believer, the beginning of the time, probably there is some selfish need. But again, when it comes to maturity, one has to learn function as a part of the social unit called the church, the family. The same holds true. We have to learn how to function within the church, the social organization called the church. And that's how Paul tried to communicate to the church of Roman. And I pray that he communicate to our church, the West Houston Vietnamese Baptist Church, with two different languages and now three different languages, the French in the afternoon, but it's still one church, one body under Christ. Let us stand up. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, I picked this one, and hopefully it's the guiding principle for our church and for each one of you. Let's read together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, the righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Let's read one more time, slowly, and hopefully it's become part of you. You don't have to need to put your name because it's already say, I am, up there. Okay, let's read together. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believe. First to the Jew and to the Gentile. For the gospel of the righteousness God revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to study your word so we can understand what is the gospel. The gospel is the good news about God, the good news from God, and how you reveal the gospel to us through Jesus Christ, Yahweh. And I pray that the body of Christ, the church, will bring grace and peace to each other and also spread the gospel in this community and on around the world. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be with the church from now and forever. Amen.